Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL Tags. How are you this fine Sunday evening?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I was better about a few hours ago when those afternoon games were, or the noon games were ending. It was like, holy cow, that was the best wave of emotion I think we've had all football season. And it obviously helps to have Scott Hansen on Red Zone, because that guy just, he delivers the goods. But the second wave of games have not been nearly as good, but it's still been a good weekend of football.
Yeah, it's been kind of gross to watch, but whatever. It's football. And we made a deal with ourselves before the season started. We would not complain if we were getting football. The quality of it did not matter. So we're not going to start now, but we are going to get into our recap show, as we always do here on Sunday night. Before we do, let us talk about our contest, which ends in 6 days, whenever Halloween is, okay? The time blends together at this point. Halloween night, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our contest ends. You know what we're doing already. We are giving away a giant giveaway here with the Aaron Jones signed Packers helmet, a $200 gift card to Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a big thing of stuff from Trophy Smack for your winners and losers, and of course, a one-month subscription to Fubo TV. Follow us on Instagram, at Fantasy Pros, that is an entry. Follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Pros, that is an entry. Or subscribe to this here YouTube channel, youtube.com/FantasyPros. All those count as an entry. Just go to FantasyPros.com/contest to actually enter the contest. All right, Tags, trust or bust. A couple of names here that I want to get your opinion on. Let's start with a receiver who has had fewer than six targets once this whole season, fewer than four catches once this whole season, at least 53 yards receiving or a touchdown in every game, and who just caught 11 of his 12 targets for 112 yards. And that is Cole Beasley. He's the number 28 receiver on the year coming in. He's probably going to be higher than that after this week. Is he trust or bust?
Trust. You trust Cole Beasley. Every single week in the primer, I go through it and I look at it, and I can't believe how people don't have this guy on the roster, considering the disappointments of so many players that maybe, like T.Y. Hilton. I would rather have Cole Beasley than T.Y. Hilton. If you go back to the start of last year, Cole Beasley is a guy that has, he's now scored at least 9 PPR points in 19 of 22 games. That is that's ridiculous consistency. He's not the sexiest player. He's not going to go off for 200 yards like a Davante Adams. But not many players will. All you're looking for is a decent floor when you're sticking him in your flex or wide receiver 3 spot. So I absolutely trust Beasley.
This is the correct answer. Where do you think you'll have him, though, going forward? I mean, trust is a relative term.
Yeah, it definitely is. And he's because of the limited upside in terms of what he presents, I have him as the number 47 wide receiver for the remainder of the season, which, again, that should be owned in like every single league, because you need bench wide receivers. You need guys to get you through the bye weeks. And Cole Beasley is the guy to do that.
Yep, I agree with you there. Let's move on to a guy who I believe this is his second straight week on the Trust or Bust list. That's DeAndre Swift. Looked like the official coming out party here very early, scores the early touchdown, but just 9 for 27 on the ground, plus 4 catches for 21 yards through the air. Overall, it's his fantasy managers are relatively happy with the production he provided, but Adrian Peterson had more carries here. They've got Indianapolis next. Trust or bust DeAndre Swift.
I don't want to say that he's somewhere in between, to be honest with you. I think that he's a fantastic sell high. There's a lot of fantasy players out there that go and they look at the box scores and they look at the fantasy points scored and they don't really look at everything else and see that DeAndre Swift, over the last 2 weeks combined, he has totaled 44.8% of the Lions' touches out of that backfield. That's not nearly enough for a team that usually isn't in winning position. They're not going to rack up a whole bunch of running back touches. So I'm more in the sell DeAndre Swift. Now, you should and give him away because running backs are hard to find in fantasy football nowadays, guys that are guaranteed 15 touches. But DeAndre Swift, to me, I have him as my RB 23 or 24 in the rest of the season. So I'm more of a sell, but you're going to play him. So I guess you could say trust him to play him, but I would rather sell him.
I think his value went down after this game, Tex, because I know that I had some trade discussions with some people about Swift coming into this game, and they were really excited about what he was going to be able to do. They thought they'd be able to sell him higher after this game. I don't really think that's the case. So I agree with you. He's somewhere in between for me because he's not somebody who I'm desperate to get rid of, but I'm not trusting him in my lineup really each and every week. Let's finish up here. Trust or bust with Rob Gronkowski. Last three games, 6 targets, 3 catches, 52 yards, 8 targets, 5 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown, and 8 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown in this game. We're going to talk about your feelings on some other Tampa Bay Bucs players a little later, but trust or bust Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, absolutely trust him. He's a guy that I had ranked as the number 7 tight end this week, I believe. And, the targets are starting to get there. He's looking better. He took a few big hits today. He looked great through them. He bounced right back up. So knowing that Antonio Brown's going to be added to this offense, it's like Rob Gronkowski is like seeing matchups that he's never seen before. He's matching up with linebackers and he's crushing them. So I absolutely do trust him in an offense that's going to throw the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, so do I. And tight end is really tough to find somebody who you're willing to throw out there each and every week. And Gronk definitely makes the grade for me. Let's do what's your problem, man. We're just going to do one here because we fought about this guy a little bit in the preseason, had a little email debate over him. And I didn't like your take then. I don't like your ranking
I don't
now.
Like your tone, sir.
That's AJ Brown. You came around and you moved him up. You had him 17th, though, coming in. That is too low for me. 6 catches on 8 targets today, 153 yards and a score. Tags, AJ Brown is a wide receiver 1. What is your problem with AJ Brown?
I moved him up, and I'm going to, like, completely transparent, is that I moved him up to wide receiver 13 right now. So he's a borderline wide receiver 1. He's a guy that I do want to trust. I think that I trust Ryan Tannehill. I've moved him up in my rankings again. I know he walked away with, I think, 17.2 fantasy points in this game, but he's been so consistent. And A.J. Brown just continually gets better. And I think we all forget, and that's part of one of those things that, like, you know, last year there was going to be regression for him after the catch, but he's always been a monster after the catch. Like, he's a freak athlete. He's a guy that's built like an Anquan Boldin, a guy that's really tough to bring down. And he did it again today. I mean, he caught a ball. It was on, like, I think it was a slant route or it was an in route. Can't remember which one it was, but I saw him. And then all of a sudden it's like the one guy tried to arm tackle him. I'm like, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So he broke that, went to the house, and it was like, AJ Brown is just, he's a physical specimen, and Ryan Tannehill is playing so well that, yeah, I'm willing to do that. But even though AJ Brown is not seeing Davante Adams like targets, he's been stupid efficient when he gets targeted. So that's why I have him up there. Like him and Terry McLaurin, I'd have a difficult time choosing between those two guys moving forward. I think they're both fantastic players who are moving into that wide receiver 1 conversation.
Yeah, I've got no problem with McLaurin, certainly. But yeah, all right, I'll allow that then. You're at 13. That's good. I agree. We joke about it, but Tennessee breaks all normal models of efficiency. So just go with it. But I love Brown going forward. I get start sit questions on him still every once in a while about the matchup because it was the Steelers, even though they allow a fair number of points to opposing wide receivers. Some people were a little nervous about him. No, there's no start sit with AJ Brown. The answer is always start. Let's go to Washington Football Team 25, Cowboys 3. Let's start with the Cowboys here. Tags, Andy Dalton was terrible again, just 9 of 19 for 75 yards with a pick. He takes that giant hit late. He's in the concussion protocol. Ben DiNucci comes in, just, you know, completes 2 of 3 for 39 yards. There's a lot to unpack here, Tex. We don't know who the quarterback will be going forward right now for the Cowboys, but I'm not sure it matters. I mean, Amari Cooper catches all 7 of his targets for 80 yards. That's good. CeeDee Lamb, no receptions on 5 targets, 1 yard on 1 rush. Michael Gallup, no catches on 2 targets. Meanwhile, Zeke, just 12 for 45 on the ground, 1 catch, 6 yards through the air. How much do we downgrade the entire Cowboys offense going forward here? Philly and Pittsburgh next.
A lot. I've gone through and I moved Amari down. I didn't want to move him down that far, but I keep moving him down. He's at wide receiver 15 now. I moved CeeDee Lamb down to wide receiver 33. I have Gallup now. Gallup is somewhere, where is he at? Wide receiver 46. I don't even really want him anymore. If you wanted to roster Cole Beasley over Michael Gallup, I have no issue with it. This offense has nothing. And it even got to the point where I would say that someone like Tony Pollard, he was someone that we considered a high-end handcuff and that, you know, he was very valuable to have on your bench as a potential league winner. He's droppable. And I'm saying that because this Cowboys offense is no longer high scoring. They no longer have a good quarterback. They no longer have a good offensive line. And in fact, I would be willing to sell Ezekiel Elliott. I understand that some people might be like, whoa, he's coming off a bad game. You're still going to get name brand value with him. I've actually moved him down to my number 6 running back for the rest of the season, and I could bring him lower than that, but there's some question marks. I would actually rather take depth on my fantasy team than have Ezekiel Elliott right now, which is something that I never thought I'd say.
I want to give props to Yates here because after the last game, we sort of joked about it as to whether or not you're moving down. I was like, well, you know, maybe behind Derrick Henry, I'll move him to 3rd. But Yates was legitimately like, I think, you know, I'm going to push him down to 5, maybe 6, because he was concerned. And I agree with you. I am concerned. And I do think that if you sell low on Zeke, you're not going to be selling that low because, like you said, name value. So it's really not a bad time. But yeah, I had already moved the receivers down. I was much lower, significantly lower on all the Cowboys wide receivers than you. I don't know how much I'm going to move them down after this because I'd already kind of baked in this. I'm terrified right now with this offensive line, with the way Dalton is playing. But yeah, I agree with you. You're still going to roster, of course, Amari Cooper. You're still going to throw him out there. You're still going to roster CeeDee Lamb. You might throw him out there. Michael Gallup is he's droppable at this point. For Washington, Antonio Gibson, 20 for 128 and a touchdown on the ground. Nothing through the air. Meanwhile, J.D. McKissick, 7 touches, 51 yards. They've got a bye. Then the Giants, Lions, Bengals, and Cowboys. Is this it? Can we finally actually trust Antonio Gibson going forward?
Yeah, I mean, those are all, I don't want to say winnable games, but they should be closely contested games for Washington. And that's what you look for in Antonio Gibson. He actually broke a long run today, which is something he had not done. I think he had 1 carry of 15 yards this season. So he wasn't that explosive guy that everybody expected out of college. But to see him 20 carries in this one is obviously fantastic. The downside is that this team did have, it was 35 running backs between their 35 carries between their running backs. So Peyton Barber getting 10 carries, including some carries right when the game first began, makes absolutely zero sense. And it's kind of frustrating. And it almost reminds you in a way of the Tampa Bay backfield where it's like Ronald Jones, even though he's playing really well, they're still mixing in the other running backs and they're going to continue to do that. So you don't really want to move up expectations for Antonio Gibson too much, but he's someone that I have right around DeAndre Swift territory, to be honest with you. Those are guys are, if they get half the running back touches, they're above average players. And because of that, they're going to be like low end RB2s, but you have to keep your expectations in check.
Yeah, you and I are right there on Gibson and Swift. We basically have them right around the same range. So I agree with you. You can start him pretty much every week, but he is sort of low end RB2, you know, maybe a little higher than that at this point, but pretty much that's where you're going to look at. Meanwhile, Terry McLaurin, we knew this was a good matchup. He comes through 11 targets, 7 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown, almost a second one. Meanwhile, Logan Thomas, 4 targets, catches all of them, 60 yards and a touchdown. Second straight game with the touchdown here, tags. Is he a streaming option going forward in the right matchup?
Yes, because we had the targets earlier in the season, and it was like we kept wanting to play him, especially in like DFS, but we never could because his efficiency just got so bad that it didn't even matter if he got 6 targets, 7 targets. It just didn't matter. But now Kyle Allen's playing better than Dwayne Haskins did, and Kyle Allen's kind of picking up where he left off last year with Carolina. He wasn't necessarily the greatest real-life quarterback. He fumbled all the time, whatnot, but he delivers fantasy value. You know, DJ Moore was fantasy relevant. Curtis Samuel had a lot of fantasy relevant games. Christian McCaffrey was obviously there. So even Greg Olson, Ian Thomas, those guys performed with Carolina, and all of a sudden, you know, Kyle Allen leaves with Scott Turner, and then nobody's performing at tight end with Carolina. So it's clearly a big part of this offense, and he's been much more efficient. I love Terry McLaurin too. I'm willing to buy high on Terry McLaurin. Like, Some people still are a little hesitant to believe in him because of the team that he plays for. But again, with Kyle Allen at quarterback, think about DJ Moore last year. DJ Moore was a guy that was a borderline wide receiver one most weeks. Is he going to have a hiccup here and there? Every player is going to have that hiccup here and there. DeAndre Hopkins has had a couple of them this year. But yeah, I'm moving him up into like borderline, like a wide receiver one territory. So I'm willing to buy high on Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, they had a tough schedule. And again, we joked about it on the Waiver Wire show where I was like, Logan Thomas is my number one tight end this week. And we're like, oh, the targets are terrible. And we were like, yeah, but that may not be the case going forward for the rest of the season. And eventually he was benched. And it looks a lot different with Kyle Allen there. So I agree with you. He's a streamer. And I also agree with you on Terry McLaurin. I am moving him up as well. You had him a little higher than I did coming in. You had him 20th, I had him 23rd. But he's going to be a significant riser this week. For both of us, Bills 18, Jets 10, really ugly game here, tags. Josh Allen does go over 300 yards passing, and he runs for 61 yards, but no touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, 11 targets, 6 of them for 48 yards he reels in. We talked about Beasley already, tags. Just an off day for the passing game here. I mean, they've been a little out of sync here, at least Allen has for a little bit.
Josh Allen looks like the quarterback that he was last year. It stinks, too, because it felt like at the beginning of the year, it was like, oh, my God, like this guy's taken off. Like you continually seen progression in his career. And then it's like, what happened? There's a step backwards. And some people have said that John Brown is more important to this offense than people realize. And if he's not 100%, if he's not out there playing every snap, then the numbers are going to suffer. And I think we've seen that over the last couple of weeks, because John Brown, even when he's been out there, he hasn't been 100%. I'm glad that they let him rest up this game. But then going against New England next week, how do you feel about Josh Allen with the way that he's playing right now? You have the Patriots that are coming off an embarrassing loss. There's a lot of question marks right now. And Josh Allen, unfortunately, is not playing with a whole lot of confidence. So he's one of those guys that I had to move him down a little bit in the rest of the season rankings after this game, because we've now seen 3 games in a row where he's just not been very good. The confidence is gone. And Stephon Diggs even looked to get hurt on one play. He came back and he played the game, but it seemed like it was his neck at some point. I don't know if that's going to bother him, but it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that too. I thought maybe it was just legitimately more like frustration. He could have been injured, but it looked a little bit like frustration when I saw it, because it was a rough game. Of course, they won, and that was fine. But yeah, I mean, it's at least nice to know that, you know, a bad game for Josh Allen is still over 300 yards passing and 61 rushing yards. It doesn't kill you from a fantasy perspective. The running game, though, I mean, tags, I really thought that this was finally going to be the game for Devin Singletary. And, you know, it's not like the Jets are a great matchup, but I assume that the game script, which was not all that negative for throughout, would lend itself to a big game for Singletary here. It does not happen. 8 for 29 on the ground, 2 catches for 18 yards through the air. Meanwhile, Zach Moss, 7 for 47 on the ground, catches all 3 of his targets for 25 yards through the air. Break down the running game and how you feel about it for me.
It feels like they want to move away from Devin Singletary. We heard that the Bills were interested in Le'Veon Bell when he became available. So clearly they're just not happy with the running back situation. Zach Moss dealt with injuries. But if Moss is healthy, maybe the part of those frustrations and the inquiry on Bell had to do with Moss's health being unhealthy. But now that he's healthy and, you know, he totaled the same exact amount of touches as Singletary in this game and was more efficient, we might see more of Zach Moss moving forward.
And you and I mentioned it early in the season. You had a tweet, I remember, which said, I think maybe we drafted the wrong running back first, or we should have drafted Moss first. I think that's right. I think Moss is going to be the guy who's going to take over the bigger workload here. Because, yeah, Singletary has just not gotten it done when he has had the opportunity, which he has with Moss out. So I agree with you. I'm certainly concerned about Singletary. I'm annoyed with myself for constantly ranking him as like a borderline or even, you know, within the RB2 range when I just have no confidence in that. And I won't be doing that going forward. For the Jets, Sam Darnold does return. No Jamison Crowder here. Just played with a lead for a lot of the game. Your leading receiver was Braxton Berrios, 4 for 35. Denzel Mims does see, I believe, 7 targets. So that was nice. Breshad Perriman leaves late with a really tough hit. Meanwhile, Frank Gore, 11 for 60. He looks good. And LaMichael Pirine, 11 for 39. He does find the end zone. 2 catches for 16 yards. They've got KC, then New England. Anything you want to take away here from the Jets from a fantasy perspective?
Not really. The running backs not being involved in the passing game is a little upsetting because, Pirine did get 3 targets. Gore, I don't think, had any. But it's a lack of usage. And, like, we'll have no confidence going to play Kansas City because, you know, Kansas City is going to blow them out. And it's like, who's going to get these targets in a negative game script? So I guess it's probably Pirine. But how much confidence can we play him with knowing that Adam Gase is going to play Frank Gore? I don't know. Denzel Mims, I was really happy to see him get 7 targets because he is a talented football player. But unfortunately, this team's just not in scoring opportunity enough. So those targets, what do they mean? You know what I mean? Like, how often are they actually going to be in scoring position in order for him to exceed expectations, even with his yardage? Because that's something that has to be baked in. So I just, outside of Jamison Crowder, I don't know if there's somebody on this offense that I would really want to play when they're in the lineup.
Yeah, there shouldn't be. I don't mind stashing Perine because I do think there is a chance towards the end of the season that he could have value. But as of right now, Jamison Crowder is the only Jet you can possibly think about starting when he's out there. Hopefully he gets healthy for next week. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's talk about December. I know we're not there yet, but my December gets pretty nuts. It's my daughter's birthday, and it's three Christmases, one in Massachusetts, one in New Hampshire, one in New York. Most people save for a vacation every year or something. I just save for December. Right about now is when the kids start preparing their wish lists for December gifts, and they are plentiful. So they were writing like all day long today. I just took a look at the list, and I was like, what is this crazy new toy I'm going to have to track down somewhere? But first on their list was a signed Julian Edelman jersey. That's my son. He's a big Patriots fan. Second was a signed Tyreek Hill jersey, which is for my daughter because she likes cheetahs. Also, she already has one, so that's like poor planning on her part. Third was a signed Josh Allen helmet because, again, my daughter loves animals, so her favorite team is the Buffalo Bills. There were like 40 more items like that on their list. So first, yes, thank you. I am a caring parent who has instilled appropriate priorities in my children. But second, this is amazing because now I know I can get all their gifts from one place and it's not going to break the bank. And that place is Pristine Auction. Just go to pristineauction.com. Seriously, look around. That's free to do. Bid on something if you like it. That's free to do. Put any one of their thousands of daily auctions on your watch list. That is free to do. Prices are silly. A signed Todd Gurley jersey yesterday, $49. And it's super convenient. When I bid on an item, I have it set up so that it texts me if I get outbid. So I don't need to sit there monitoring it or anything like that. Seriously, just go to pristineauction.com. It's easy. It's free to bid. It's free to browse. Check it out. Pristine auction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they will know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Steelers 27, Titans 24. This is a good game here, Tags. Didn't look like it to start, but the Titans, as we talked about, managed to find a way to come back, as they often do. Lots of fantasy production for the Steelers here. James Conner, 23 touches, 111 yards, and like eight almost touchdowns in this game. Benny Snell does wind up vulturing one of the rushing touchdowns, but Conner still has a nice game here. The receivers, Deontay Johnson, 15 targets, 9 catches, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He did leave late with an ankle injury, but reportedly it doesn't look to be that serious. Meanwhile, Juju Smith-Schuster, 14 targets, 9 catches, 85 yards, also with an almost touchdown. Chase Claypool, meanwhile, my boy, 1 target, 1 catch, negative 2 yards. I'm going to, for reference, Tags, give you where you had these guys rest of season coming in, and then I want to know how you feel about each one. You had Juju Smith-Schuster 29th, Deontay Johnson 32nd, and Chase Claypool 34th. So what are you doing with them going forward?
Deontay Johnson, I moved up to 23. He's back to that target share. I was optimistic this week. I had him as, I think, my wide receiver 31, if I'm not mistaken, for this week. Yates was higher than me on him, and kudos to him. I just thought that there was some uncertainty there, but knowing that Chase Claypool went back to one target. Now, Claypool was playing ahead of James Washington as far as I saw in that game, because, again, I try and watch all these games as they're going on, so I may have missed some of that, but I'll go and look back. I'll go back and I'll look at the routes run and all that stuff and make sure I highlight it all in the primer. But I was into Deontay Johnson, and knowing the targets were there, he's the best route runner on that team, and it's not even all that close. Like, he's ridiculous. The touchdown that he scored, I think it was his second touchdown, where he caught basically a slant, and most players would have just kind of just went right on the inside and gone for the middle of the end zone. He just stopped his route and the DB basically fell down and he went back the other way. It was just something not a lot of wide receivers do. And it's those small intricacies of his game that I think Ben Roethlisberger loves. So he is going to be that guy. Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm not going to trust him fully just yet. This game helped. I have him at wide receiver 33 on the remainder of the season. And Claypool, I moved down to wide receiver 37.
Okay, I think I could be wrong here, Tex. I thought you had Juju higher than that coming into the...
I don't think so. I don't think that I had Juju. I may have, but this game didn't do a whole lot for me. Like with Juju, I know he got a lot more targets and it seemed like Roethlisberger was forcing the issue, but I just don't see anything from him that screams like you're the number one wide receiver on that team and that Chase Claypool is never going to produce again or James Washington's never going to get targeted again. There's just so many options in this offense and he just hasn't played consistent enough to earn all my trust yet.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson did look really, really good before he got injured. And we had talked, you and me and Yates, a little bit before we went into about where we were ranking him. And I was the one who was the most cautious on him coming in because it was just something where I needed to see it. You certainly saw it here. I think there will be better days with Claypool. I'm not going to tank him in my rankings. Sounds like you didn't either. But it was certainly disappointing to see, because I did think that he still would be able to produce despite even with everybody back and healthy. Let's talk about the Titans. It took a while to get going, but eventually there was fantasy production. Derrick Henry rushes for 75 yards and a score. We already talked about AJ Brown. Corey Davis finds the end zone. 10 targets here, catches 6 of them for 35 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, Jonnu Smith held to just 1 catch on 4 targets for 9 yards. Anybody moving up or down your rest of season rankings here, Tags?
Not really. Jonnu Smith, now that we have Corey Davis and AJ Brown in the field, is his target totals going to be what they were at the beginning of the season? That's the concern. He was coming off the ankle injury, so we don't know if it limited his impact in the game plan this week, but because he only saw 4 targets here. He did get an end zone target that it was almost a touchdown, basically. They were going to him in crunch time. But I'm not panicking any of these guys. I'm not moving Corey Davis up because he saw 10 targets. He's been a guy that's been seeing plenty of targets. He just hasn't been, he just never turned into the player that we thought he was going to be.
Yep. Now, I agree with you there. I'm going to take another look at this. I wasn't able to feel like I watched that one as close, because again, we try to watch all these games as they're going on. So I will go back and watch the film. But yeah, I agree with you on that one. Let's go to Saints 27, Panthers 24. No Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders. No problem. Drew Brees throws for 287 yards and 2 scores. 1 to Jared Cook, who has his very predictable, as we talked about in the Start Sit show, 3 catches, 32 yards. With the touchdown, 1 goes to Deontay Harris, 46 yards on the score. Meanwhile, Traquan Smith catches all 4 of his targets for 54 yards. Marcus Callaway, who leaves late with an injury, is your leading receiver for the running game. Alvin Kamara, 148 yards total. Latavius Murray, 56 yards. Can we take anything from this game, Tags, given that it came without Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, or do we just move on to the next one?
Oh, we have to move on to the next one, I think. I don't know. It was really disappointing to see Traquan Smith finish with just 4 targets in this game. Big letdown. I moved him into my top 36 wide receivers based on the fact that Sanders and Thomas were out for this game. Thomas is slated. They're saying that he's questionable next week with his hamstring injury, but they're playing the Bears. So nothing about this pass attack right now is something that you need to attack in the waiver wire or anything like that. I'm sure we're going to talk about it on the show that we record tomorrow, but I don't know. I mean, this offense, I still feel like this offense is not really clicking on all cylinders. I know Brees had a decent game, especially fantasy-wise with his rushing touchdown, but it was better than I thought it was going to be for Brees. But in the end, the receivers, I don't want to take away too much from it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how I viewed it as well. I'm not moving anybody specifically up or down. Like you, I had Traquan Smith, I think 35th, if my memory serves. So it's a disappointing day overall. He doesn't kill you, though, in a half PPR league, you know, 54 yards, 4 catches. So it's fine. But I agree. I kind of hope for a bigger day. For the Panthers, DJ Moore, again, just 5 targets, turns him into 4 catches for 93 yards and 2 scores. Robbie Anderson, 8 targets, 6 catches, 74 yards. Curtis Samuel gets involved, catches all 6 of his targets for 48 yards. You had DJ Moore 26th coming into the week. Are you moving him up based on this performance?
I put him at 22. I'm still a little bit worried about him just because he's someone in 4 of his last 5 games, he has seen 6 or fewer targets. And in order to be a top 20 wide receiver, you basically need to see a consistent set, you know, 7-8 targets. Like, that's where those guys are at. And, or you need to be extremely efficient. And DJ Moore, he's probably, in terms of like performance, I'm guessing he probably is a top 24 wide receiver in fantasy right now, because he has been efficient. He's averaged over 10 yards per target. Now, granted, there's been a couple catches, like the one today and then one against the Falcons a couple weeks ago, where basically he took one play and he made a count, you know. And it's those type of plays are what you need when you have a player getting 6 targets. I mean, comparatively, like, it's like he's seeing Golden Tate type targets. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of ridiculous. So even if he's being efficient, I don't think I can move him much higher than wide receiver 22.
I'm in complete agreement. I had him 24th coming in. He's going to move up a couple of spots, but I'm still going to have Robbie Anderson higher, which I did coming in, because again, the targets continue to be there for Anderson. I like Moore. I think you can start him every week, but I'm not bumping him up to where I had him preseason or anything based on this. Meanwhile, finally a dud for Mike Davis in the tough matchup. Only 7 carries, 12 yards on the ground. He does catch 5 passes for 24 yards through the air, so helps you a little bit that way. he probably has another week of relevance here, tags, and it's against the Falcons, so live it up. But I don't really think there's much to talk about with Mike Davis, unless you do.
No, not really. I mean, he had 12 of the 13 touches available to Panthers running backs in this game. They just didn't give their running backs a whole lot of touches this game. So it's a tough matchup against the Saints, too. We knew that coming in. We knew it was a tough matchup against the Bears. Fortunately, he came out with a touchdown in that game. Otherwise, last week would have been viewed as a bust for Mike Davis. And it could have something to do. Dan, I mentioned a couple weeks ago before he had that game against the Bears, before he had this game against the Saints, I said, sell Mike Davis. He has a couple hard matchups coming back. Christian McCaffrey is going to be back before long. And I think we might have seen a guy that had fresh legs that came into that job. And all of a sudden it's like, you're being relied upon like Christian McCaffrey. You better have a hell of a lot of endurance. And we saw Mike Davis in like a red no contact jersey at the beginning of practice this week. So maybe he's just taking a beating and maybe it's just wearing on him.
Yeah, well, McCaffrey is reportedly out next week and they get Atlanta. So if you have Mike Davis, you get probably one more week of use out of him. And then McCaffrey will be back. Browns 37, Bengals 34. I'm very mad at the kicker because I had the Browns laying 3.5. Ooh. No big deal. Story for another time. The big story here, of course, is Odell Beckham Jr., who suffers a knee injury early. The early indications are that it is serious. So, Tags, let's analyze everything from the lens that Beckham is going to be out for a significant amount of time, if not the season, because I think that just makes sense. Baker Mayfield still threw 5 touchdown passes, 2 to Harrison Bryant, 1 to David Njoku, 1 to Kareem Hunt, and 1 to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Meanwhile, Rashard Higgins is your leading receiver with 110 yards. Jarvis Landry, pretty quiet in this game. Kareem Hunt, 102 total yards with the touchdown. It is a fantasy podcast. We feel bad for Odell Beckham Jr., but we have to ask, how does his injury, assuming it's serious, affect this offense going forward?
That's something that it's going to take some time to go through to figure out the routes run. That information will become available to us tomorrow morning because, I mean, Rashard Higgins seemed like the guy today. And Rashard Higgins, when he's been asked to play a bigger role, not necessarily in Kevin Stefanski's offense, when he's been asked, he has performed pretty well. So it could be like a Zach Pascal type player where it's like a guy that you don't need to start him every single week, but if you need someone in a pinch, you could probably play him. Donovan Peoples-Jones was someone that I loved in the pre-draft process. I had him ranked as a top 10 wide receiver in this class, and he fell reportedly because he badmouthed some coaches from Notre Dame or from Michigan. And that's obviously a no-no. You don't want to do that, but he can play. The kid can play. And he scored what was the game-winning touchdown. So he's someone to watch. I just don't think that this offense is very – I don't think it's an offense you need to attach yourself to because you look at it, Mayfield threw the ball 28 times in this game. Even if you're getting a 20% target share of that, that's not elite. And Baker Mayfield hasn't been what I would call efficient. Now, he was in this game, but it was against the Bengals. And the Bengals are a team that he played efficiently against the first time. So – I don't think it's an offense you need to attach yourself to, but I'm guessing Rashard Higgins is a guy that's going to be a popular waiver wire ad.
Yeah, and they get Las Vegas next week. So, you know, we're going to have to take a look, and it's hard to draw too many conclusions based on what happens in a game when they're not prepared for the injury. It'll be much more telling, you know, what happens next week when they can game plan around the fact that they won't have Beckham Jr. For the Bengals, no Joe Mixon, as we know. So Giovanni Bernard wasn't crazy impressive, just 13 for 37 on the ground, but he caught 5 passes for 59 yards through the air. He does score that late touchdown. Word today is that Mixon is week to week with the foot injury. The Bengals have a bye, I believe, in week 9.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's probably safe for Gio to start next week. If so, he's probably an RB2 against the Titans next week, right?
I would tend to agree with that.
All right. Meanwhile, suddenly there are no bad options in this passing game. Tyler Boyd, 13 targets, 11 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. AJ Green, 13 targets, 7 catches, 82 yards. T. Higgins catches all 5 of his targets for 71 yards and a touchdown. Burrow throws for 406 yards. Who is the most interesting name here to talk about, Tex?
I mean, AJ Green, probably. We already mentioned Bernard, so we don't need to talk about him. AJ Green is someone that, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago where it was like, it seems like we're trending down. And then he saw that one target. Then we saw the video of him looking like he said, trade me. And then it's like, all of a sudden he's getting double digit targets in back to back matchups. He looks good. Like he's winning one on one matchups like he's supposed to. I've moved him up. I mean, I still would rather have T. Higgins. I think there's a chance that the Bengals trade away AJ Green. I think part of the reason that they're targeting him could come down to them trying to showcase him for a trade. We know the Packers are interested. Apparently, they've been calling around to see if players are available. The Bengals are now 1-5. They're not going anywhere this year, so why not move on from AJ Green? Mike Thomas has kind of stepped in and played some snaps, so they can play with him. They have John Ross still on the depth chart. So AJ Green has moved up to wide receiver 43. And I want to ask you, Dan, if because the trade deadline is coming up. We have, I think, 2 weeks until the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken. If AJ Green is traded to the Packers with the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now, what are you going to do with him in your rest of season rankings?
I'm going to move him up. You stole my question, not necessarily to the Packers. It's always tough for me when anybody switches team, a receiver in particular, switches team in the middle of the season, because you never know how it's going to go. But you have the Amari Cooper, you know, where you switch from the Raiders and you become a complete stud with the Cowboys. You know Green right now, the way he's playing, if he's healthy, and he looks healthy right now. We liked him, as everybody who listens to this podcast knows, coming into the season. So I'm moving him up now. I'm not moving him up on the basis that he's going to get traded, because if he stays with the Bengals, I think he's an option you can throw out there every week. But if he does go to the Packers and there is a second option for Aaron Rodgers to throw to, yeah, I'm going to move him up further. He's not going to jump immediately to like wide receiver two territory necessarily. I want to see what it looks like. But yeah, I'd move him up. Wouldn't you, if he goes to the Packers?
I would. Who would you rather have right now? Like, knowing we know Antonio Brown is going to join the Bucs, right? Week 9. Who would you rather have on your roster, Antonio Brown or AJ Green?
They're going to be ranked, because I've been thinking about where people have been asking me, oh, well, where are you going to rank Brown? Where are you going to rank Brown? They're going to rank pretty close tags. My guess is that in my initial cut, Green will come slightly ahead of Brown. Now, I also guess that I'm going to be lower than the consensus on Brown, because I think regardless of the performance, there are obvious off the field issues that could come into play. That doesn't guarantee him going to play the entire season. You've got, of course, the many other options that you have on the Bucs. I'm not really all that confident that this guy is going to return solid every week value. So for me, I'm going to have Green, when all is said and done, when I do my update coming into this week, I'm going to have Green a little higher. What about you?
That's fair. I have it right now. I have it Antonio Brown at 40. I have AJ Green at 43. So they're right in the same territory.
That's exactly pretty much the range they're going to be in, but I'm probably going to have it flipped. I'm going to have Green a little bit higher. All right, so before we move on, you know what you don't think about until it happens? A medical emergency. And then when it does happen and you need to be transported to the hospital, you're usually hit with a massive bill that you weren't expecting. I've seen it happen a ton. My own relatives, my friends' parents, even my own friends. And when it did, everyone said the same thing. This cannot be how it works. We can't get hit with these types of crazy expenses just for being transported to a hospital. But now, we've all found AirMed Care Network, and we can rest a little easier. Members get world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses, not a dime. It's a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships to AirMed Care Network cost as little as $85 a year for your whole household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use offer code FantasyPros. That's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Offer code FantasyPros. Okay, let's go to the Lions 23, Falcons 22. Todd Gurley tried tags. He tried to do the right thing. More props to that dude. I feel terrible for him. His fantasy managers, though, approve at least 23 for 63, plus two touchdowns on the ground, three targets, two catches, 19 yards through the air. Not much changes here with Gurley, right, Tags? We both had him 16 at running back coming into the week. I assume he basically stays there.
Yes, and you are going to sell high after this week. He's going to play the Panthers this week. And I talked about it because I remember after the last time he played the Panthers, I said, this seems like a good opportunity to sell high. And then I was like, I looked at the schedule and I was like, no. We wanted him for this game. We want him for the Panthers. So keep him for another week. And you're going to want to sell high after that one. But it's a matchup against the Panthers that, I mean, you just start running backs against the Panthers and enjoy it.
After that Denver bye, Saints, it's not all that pretty. So you certainly want to make your move shortly after this next game. Meanwhile, Matt Ryan, 338 yards, just the one touchdown, which goes to Calvin Ridley, who catches 5 for 69, plus 2-point conversion. Julio Jones, 8 for 97. Russell Gage, 6 for 54. Hayden Hurst, 6 for 68. I'm not sure there's much to say here, Tags. You're satisfied pretty much with everything you got from the Atlanta passing offense, right?
Oh, yeah. With Julio back, I was looking at that because I started doing research naturally for the primer this week already. Matt Ryan in 4 full games with Julio Jones. He's completed 71% of his passes, averaged 8.33 yards per attempt. He's thrown 11 touchdowns in those 4 games, 1 interception. Basically, Julio Jones has a butterfly effect on everybody in that offense, you know, including Hayden Hurst and Russell Gage. So Calvin Ridley may not get the elite target share, but he's going to be that much more efficient with the targets that he does get.
Yep, absolutely, completely agree. For the Lions, we already talked about DeAndre Swift. Good overall day for all the pass catchers. Stafford throws for 340 yards, just the one touchdown. Kenny Galladay, 6 catches for 114 yards. Marvin Jones, finally, 5 catches, 80 yards. TJ Hockenson catches that late touchdown, 5 for 59. We were already trusting Galladay and Hockenson to the extent you can trust a tight end. He was both a tight end one for us. Are you willing to take the plunge at all right now with Marvin Jones finally showing some signs of life?
I mean, that's how I feel about it. Like, this is one of those, I'm going to pull a Dan moment.
Yes.
And I'm going to say, oh, whatever. I'm good either way.
That's right. That's the correct answer, as you know. I agree. Marvin Jones is fine as a pickup if you would like, but I do not believe that he is going to come close to returning what we thought he could be on draft day, which was somebody you could probably start as a flex or maybe a wide receiver 3. I don't really feel like I'm going to feel all that comfortable.
Well, to be fair, Matthew Stafford hasn't topped 36 pass attempts since week one. This was the week where I expected him to go off, and fortunately he had that last drive to get over 300 yards in the touchdown, but it's been a really, really disappointing year for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, and they get Indianapolis next, so you're not exactly excited about that. Packers 35, Texans 20. You, me, and Yates went back and forth all morning about how do we handle Jamal Williams in our rankings, because there was a lot of uncertainty. In the end, it's a big day, 23 touches, 114 total yards, and the late score. A.J. Dillon, just 5 carries for 11 yards. I'm not sure there's all that much to take away from here, Tags. It sounds like Jones is going to be okay. If he doesn't, Williams is just an obvious start next week against the Vikings, and he's basically a high-end handcuff going forward, right? Or do you think he can possibly carve out a bigger role based on
He's already had a role. I mean, I think people have underestimated that. He's been involved in the passing game a little bit. He has had, I think, at least 6 carries in every game, so he's had a role. They might choose. It's almost something like we saw last year with him and Aaron Jones, where those two were splitting a lot of the work. And now that Aaron Jones is dealing with this issue, it could just give them a reason to make it more of a timeshare like they did last year. And they said they wanted to keep Aaron Jones fresh for the playoff run. This team is obviously primed for the playoffs. Again, they're 5-1 right now. They're going to win that division. And it might be the smart thing to make sure Aaron Jones is not like overworked. So, I do think that Jamal Williams is going to have a role. I remember last year, there were a lot of times where he had flex viability and we played him as such, even with Aaron Jones in the lineup. So yeah, I mean, he looked really good out there. I was like literally going back and forth all morning talk with followers about Jamal Williams or Giovanni Bernard. And, I racked my brain about it and I felt so torn. And to know in the end, they literally scored like the same exact amount of points. I feel better about like, everything.
I kept apologizing on the Instagram live session tags for basically, they were like, people were asking me like, well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jamal Williams was like, I'm sorry. I have Jamal Williams higher. Like, it feels dirty to recommend that, but that is what I'm doing. And in the end, thankfully, most of these guys all worked out. But yeah, he's, at the very worst, a high-end handcuff. But I agree. He was somebody who was kind of providing some sneaky involvement that I don't think most fantasy managers were realizing. Anyway, he's owned everywhere at this point. But you may get one more week of primary running back duties out of him, depending on what happens with Aaron Jones. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, 283 yards and 4 touchdowns. 2 of them go to Devontae Adams, who puts up a monstrous 13 catches for 196 yards and 2 touchdowns on 16 targets. MVS is held without a catch here. Robert Tonyan, just 2 catches for 32 yards. You mentioned it with Green. You have to assume that they're going to go and get Rodgers some wide receiver help at some point in this trade market. In the meantime, do you roster anyone else in this passing game other than Adams?
No. Robert Tonyan, maybe, but he's more of a streamer to me. He's not an every week start. He never really was that guy. That's why I was kind of shocked to see him so high in ECR this week. No, Valdez Scantling was someone that I was holding out hope for because the air yards have been there. The targets have been there. Rodgers has been playing at MVP level, and I'm like, they're going to connect at some point. We've already reached the stage in the season where it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling is slowly seeing his role dissolve, and they're going to trade for somebody. They have to. I think it's only going to go away further. He's dropped.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we talked about him on that waiver wire show, and you were even being like, he might be a guy who I would pick up. And Yates and I were both like, no, I can't. Yeah. Like, I don't see this happening.
Maybe I was wrong.
It's all right, Tag. I mean, it happens, every once in a while. Okay, for the Texans, let's just lump this all together here, Tags, because there's really the bigger issue, and that is the trade deadline coming up, which you aptly mentioned last week on the show. David Johnson does wind up with 18 touches for 84 yards and a score. Will Fuller only 35 yards, but he does find the end zone. Brandon Cooks has 7 catches for 60 yards. Randall Cobb, 8 catches for 95 yards. Again, you mentioned it next week. there is almost certainly a sell-off coming. I poo-pooed it when you mentioned it. I was like, ah, you know, everybody talks about that. But now it really sounded like this was the week. Show me something this week. Otherwise, we are going into a sell-off. So they are probably going to go into a sell-off. How do you handle these guys right now, Tags, these receivers in particular, when you know they've got a bye coming up? You know they're probably going to be dealt. How do you handle looking at them rest of season?
I mean, they might play 17-week seasons. It was like Emmanuel Sanders last year was a guy that didn't have his bye week. He was traded to a team that already had their bye, so he played 17 games. So I think that you might even value them more. I mean, I don't know. Because the thing is, if you're going to trade for a receiver like a Brandon Cooks or a Will Fuller, it's obviously a team that needs wide receiver help and a team that's a contender. So it should be a better offense, I would say. But I mean, let's not pretend that Deshaun Watson's an average quarterback. He's an above average quarterback, and they've been pretty efficient with the targets that they've received. So it's really difficult to gauge that right now. I have Will Fuller anticipating a trade. I have him at wide receiver 20 in my rest of season rankings, but he's performed like a borderline wide receiver 1 for most weeks. I feel like he probably should be closer to like wide receiver 15, but I'm just uncomfortable with it. Brandon Cooks, I have, let's see, where do I have Cooks? Wide receiver 42. So I guess I have them a little bit lower because I am worried about the uncertainty of where they're going to go. And you talked about it when we talked about AJ Green potentially to the Packers, is that these players, if they go to a new team, building that chemistry, learning a new offense, it is pretty damn hard. So it's going to be hard for me for us to say that they're going to go to a better situation than the one that they're in right now. So I guess I might be looking to trade them now.
Yeah, I don't know how to handle
tough, man.
Players like this. That's the thing. It's really difficult. No, because again, I don't, as a general matter, like the idea of when players join teams right before the season starts. It makes me uncomfortable when players are traded.
Real quick, do we value Duke Johnson? So here, David Johnson reportedly is one of those people that they're talking about potentially moving, even though they traded, you know, what DeAndre Hopkins. But is Duke Johnson someone that needs to be rostered right now?
I hesitate to say needs to be rostered just because of, man, roster spots are so precious this point in the season. But I do think that if I have the room, he is somebody who I'm adding. I mean, I don't know how they're going to be able to deal David Johnson necessarily, but I do think that if he ever did get the role, which kind of people have been saying forever, you'd be like, you know, if Duke ever got like the fully committed role, it's never going to happen. But I do think that if fantasy managers have room on the roster, they should add him. It's tough to do though at this point, I admit. Okay. Let's go to the Bucks 45, Raiders 20. Let's start with the running game here. Tags, Ronald Jones, just 13 for 34. He does score the touchdown, but Leonard Fournette, 11 carries, 50 yards, and 6 catches for 47 yards. How do you feel about this running game, Tags?
I don't want to talk about it. I think this is bad coaching. I don't know why you would mess with something that was going so well. Ronald Jones has been running as good as any running back in the league, and then you put Leonard Fournette out there for half the time. Cool.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette.
I mean, Fournette did look good, Ted.
I didn't think he looked that good. Like, I watched, there was a run that he had towards the end of the game where he was coming down towards the sideline, and he had an angle like he should have scored a touchdown. And Leonard Fournette in college scores a touchdown. Leonard Fournette in the Bucs uniform, not so much. Ronald Jones is a better running back than Leonard Fournette, and that's not something that I thought I would say coming out of college, but I am at the point where it's like, Ronald Jones is the better running back. And yeah, it's stupid.
I know, but your job is not to coach the team. Unfortunately, I would love it if it were. Your job is to say, how do you view these guys going forward? So we were basically trusting Ronald Jones as an RB2. Yeah. Are you trusting him as an RB2 at this point?
He still is out of kind of necessity, but I did lower him to RB20. I think I had him up at 17 or 16 coming into this week, where I was like fully on board. But now I would probably take him over guys like Mostert, who's going to still miss another 2 weeks. Tevin Coleman's eventually going to be back. That's just a friggin' mess. Melvin Gordon, depends on what's going on with Phillip Lindsay. It seems like it's a concussion, so he'll probably be back. Miles Gaskin plays for a bad offense. He's still an RB2, but damn it, I'm so mad about it.
I know you are. I could feel it coursing through the computer. How about Fournette? How high does he go? Because I assumed you had dropped him. You had him 40th.
Yeah, I have him at RB37 right now.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a perfectly appropriate move. I think dropping Jones a few spots, moving Fournette up a few spots is perfectly appropriate. I do worry, and again, we were basically at the same spot on both those guys. We're probably going to be at roughly the same spot on those guys coming in for the rest of the season after this week. But I am a little bit worried that delta is going to begin to close as we move forward, which is very frustrating. as is Mike Evans' performance, but we'll get there in 1 second. Big game for Chris Godwin. All 9 of his targets for 88 yards. Scotty Miller finds the end zone with 109 yards. I think we can probably assume his role is going to decrease with Antonio Brown there. But we do have Mike Evans, who catches both of his targets for 37 yards. One was just late, and it didn't even matter. So he didn't even get the target until the third quarter. And you were talking about it in our private Slack channel about you were moving him down. So again, Antonio Brown is on his way in. Talk about Mike Evans, but also, are you moving Chris Godwin down, or what are you doing with
him? I love that Evans is credited with only 2 targets, when in reality, I think he had like 5 targets, but Brady was so off on like 3 of them that they don't even count as targets. Mike Evans was so ticked. He had a touchdown. Like, he won this matchup, yes, and Brady correct. Missed him. But I'm worried about the entire team. Chris Godwin's role doesn't change all that much, because Godwin plays a slot heavy role. So that shouldn't change too much with Antonio Brown coming back, but obviously it shaves off some of the top end upside that he has. So I've dropped him in my rest of season rankings. I have him at, I think, wide receiver 17 for the remainder of the season. Mike Evans, I have dropped down to wide receiver 25. I could make the case that he should be falling further than that, because Antonio Brown and him are going to compete for targets on the perimeter. Scotty Miller is someone you can drop. I know he had 109 yards and a touchdown. I liked him as a sneaky start this week in the primer, but his role is going to be non-existent when Antonio Brown's there. So yeah, I think in the end, what you want to think is, like, you want to go after Tom Brady.
Yeah. Oh God. He's playing really, really well.
Antonio Brown added to that team. Like, it's stupid, man.
It's obnoxious, but it's great. 369 yards and 4 touchdowns. Plus he does his patented QB sneak, which he does as well as anybody for another touchdown. On the other side of the ball, when you think about the Raiders, there's only one player that you really want to talk about, and that's Nelson Agholor, who has 9 targets and 5 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. Tags, I mean, the last 3 games, I'm mentioning him just because, a listener has basically been like, well, what about this guy? 4 for 44 and a touchdown 3 games ago, 2 for 61 and a touchdown last week, 9 for 5 and 107 yards and a touchdown in this game. Do you have any interest from a fantasy perspective at Nelson Agholor?
I mean, I don't think we could ignore him anymore. Should he be rostered? Probably. Think about it. We go back to last year, people rostered Tyrell Williams, right?
Yes.
He played the same quarterback. Tyrell Williams is like a situational deep threat. Like, he was never meant to be a number one wide receiver. Nelson Agholor saw 9 targets here. I don't think that Tyrell Williams once saw 9 targets last year. I'm not kidding. I think his season high was like 7 targets, and people still rostered him. They played him as a wide receiver 3 most of the time because he was scoring touchdowns. Nelson Agholor is better. I mean, he's playing with confidence. He's playing really well. So yeah, he's someone that I probably overlooked a lot in my rest of season rankings, because I didn't want to believe it, because we'd seen so bad for so long. But now he's putting together a string of good games, and Derek Carr has been relatively efficient while throwing the ball. So I guess it is time to move Nelson Agholor up, but I still don't know if I would rather roster him than someone like even like a Henry Ruggs. I know Ruggs hasn't done much, but I still think I would prefer Ruggs. Yep. I might be wrong in that though.
No, I'm with you. And I could not, what's your problem, man, with Nelson Agholor, because I was equally, ignorant of whatever his value may be. I'm not ready to trust it. But it is something that is at least worth monitoring at this point. Meanwhile, Josh Jacobs, we knew it was a tough matchup. They don't look to have lost a step after Vea's injury. 10 for 17 on the ground. He does catch 3 passes for 14 yards. Just the tough matchup, and you're willing to forget about it? Or are you at all concerned here with Josh Jacobs?
It was a tough matchup, so I'm not I'm not panicking through the moon. But, I mean, I am worried in terms of, like, rest of season schedule. He has a bad schedule. Like, he's going to play against Cleveland this next week, which is not a bad matchup. But then it goes to the Chargers, the Broncos, the Chiefs, which could be a negative game script. Atlanta's been better on the ground than people think. The Jets, whatever. Indianapolis, the Chargers, those are 2 of his playoff matchups. So Josh Jacobs is like a high-end RB2 by default, just because of the opportunity that he gets in that offense. But it's I'm not opposed to selling him if you have him.
Yeah, no Trent Brown here. And again, the whole offensive line was, quarantined this whole week. But it was a tough matchup. I was concerned about him in this one. But I agree. I'm feeling a little hesitant on him going forward. And by that, I mean, give me a break. You're starting him every week. But it is something where if you can deal him based on what his value was a couple of weeks ago, which not sure you can, I would do that. 49ers 33, Patriots 6. The answer to who is the better start between Jerick McKinnon or Jamichael Hasty was Jeff Wilson. He went for 17 and 112 yards and 3 touchdowns before leaving with an ankle injury. I don't know how serious it was. Meanwhile, McKinnon barely sees the field, as you aptly noted, 3 carries for -1 yards. Jamichael Hasty, after Wilson leaves, 9 carries for 57 yards. Tags, legitimately, I mean, I know Tevin Coleman's going to come back at some point, but legitimately, is this a backfield where without Raheem Mostert, who I think we all feel confident rolling out there as a strong RB2 when he's there and healthy, without him, do we just trust nobody in this backfield because we have absolutely no idea what Kyle Shanahan's going to do week to week?
This is like, no, well, yeah, yes and no, but this is one of those situations, Dan. We talk about it every week. We say, oh, I hate this situation. I hate this guy. But then you're going to get to your rankings and you're going to have four teams on bye. You're going to have six teams on bye, whatever. And you're going to be like, why is he RB22? Right. It's going to be those situations.
Yeah, and I have no idea what to do. If you heard the start sit show, the guy who I was like, yeah, McKinnon. I mean, it seems obvious. McKinnon, I don't want Hasty. Barely even considered Wilson, who was, of course, you know, in a late game questionable coming in. So it's not like anybody was really set to rely on him. Regardless, either way, he's dealing with the ankle injury now. We'll see where that leads us. Meanwhile, Deebo Samuel leaves with a hamstring injury. It's a strain. We don't know how serious it is. But Brandon Ayuk, 7 targets, 6 catches, 115 yards. He could have been trust or bust, Tag. So how do you feel about Brandon Ayuk?
If Deebo Samuel misses time, I like him better. New England is not as tough as matchup as people think it is. I've highlighted that. I've talked about that. Said that the Patriots coming into this game were one of 5 teams who's allowed more than 8 yards per reception. So it just, you have to throw the ball a little bit. And Jimmy Garoppolo averaged 11 yards per attempt against them today. He threw 2 interceptions, but whatever. But Brandon Ayuk, I mean, outside of George Kittle, there's really no one else in this offense is getting targets. And if Jerick McKinnon is basically being left out of the offense now, yeah, I guess Brandon Ayuk would be a guy that you consider as a streamer, as like a wide receiver 3 if Deebo Samuel misses time.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. He'll basically be a wide receiver 3 because they have to go somewhere with the ball, you know, and if Deebo's out, there really isn't that much left. For the Pats, goodness, Tags. We were talking about this offline. I mean, Cam Newton was mercifully benched here when the game got out of reach. 98 yards passing with 3 picks, just 19 yards rushing. Bill Belichick has already come out and said that Cam is the starter going forward. But true or false, Tags, you should not roster anybody on the Patriots.
I said last week that James White, I would roster him. And I still think I would, even though he had 1 target in this game. I don't even know how that happens, why that happens. But he's probably the only one. I mean, Damian Harris, the Sony Michel, I think gets off the COVID list after this week or the IR, whatever he's on now, because he had 3 weeks where he had to be out. So I'm really curious to see how that works. I'm guessing that one of those guys is going to be inactive. So the Patriots are basically going to tell us who's playing, but I don't really want to play him.
I mean, Damian Harris did total 70 yards, to be fair. Right. And N'Keal Harry left with, I believe it was a concussion.
He's not good either.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be somebody who you would want to start anyway. But yeah, I'm starting to think that the answer is you can roster no one.
Edelman can be caught, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I said that last week. I think I had him 40th coming into last week. I think I dropped him to 47th or something like that. I don't want to deal with it at this point anymore. It's just not happening. Chiefs 43, Broncos 16 in the snowball. Not a crazy sort of fantasy bonanza. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, just 200 yards passing, and he does throw the 1 touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, who has only 55 yards, not exactly a bonanza. Mecole Hardman was actually your leading receiver, just 2 targets, catches both of them for 57 yards. Quiet day from Travis Kelce, catches all 3 of his targets for 31 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 8 carries for 46 yards. He gets a lot of work early. And the touchdown, he gets 4 targets. He catches one of them for 17 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 6 for 39 on the ground. Not terrible at all. Nothing in the passing game. How did you feel in the first game seeing Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire together?
It was kind of what we expected, but it was a weird game where we can't even take too much from this game in general because it was a very sloppy game. Like, it was freezing cold. You could see that there was wind there. Like, the snow was blowing sideways. It was just a weird game, so I don't want to take away too much from it. I still think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the better running back. Le'Veon Bell is going to be involved because you don't sign Le'Veon Bell and just keep him on the bench. So he's going to have a role. I anticipate it being like somewhat of a 60-40 split between Edwards-Helaire and him. It was good to see Edwards-Helaire get into the end zone. He should have had a second touchdown.
Yes.
Because Mahomes made a hell of a play and Edwards-Helaire dropped it. I don't think he expected the ball, though, to be fair. And I think that's why
he was so mad after that play. I mean,
Mahomes was mad, and Edwards-Helaire was like, oh no. but yeah, it wasn't great. But at the same time, Edwards-Helaire is someone that I still think you're going to trot him out as an RB2 most weeks. And Le'Veon Bell, basically, I think my rest of season ranking was solid on those guys. I think I had Edwards-Helaire at RB14 or RB15 for the rest of the season. I had Bell at like RB24, if I'm not mistaken. So, or RB26. So I feel pretty good about those rankings.
Yeah, I had Bell 29th. I might move him up a spot or two. He looked fine when he had the ball here. But yeah, I do think Edwards-Helaire is still going to lead the way. I think it's going to be roughly a two-thirds, one-third split. But both guys are going to be able to be played most weeks. On the other side of the ball, Philip Lindsay looks really good. And again, we were talking about, where do we rank Melvin Gordon this week? Because you were basically saying, like, I feel like I'm too high, you know, on Melvin Gordon. And Lindsay did get the start. He looked great, 9 for 79. He does leave with the concussion, so don't know whether or not that's going to keep him out. Meanwhile, Melvin Gordon then gets extra work, 17 carries for 68 yards. And he does have the touchdown, but he loses two fumbles. How do you view the running back situation, assuming that Lindsay is healthy going forward?
If Lindsay's healthy, this is a mess. I think it's going to be somewhat of a 50-50 timeshare. Melvin Gordon does have more of a role in the passing game, so I would say that I'd still prefer Melvin Gordon, but it's cause for concern because Lindsay looked fantastic before he left that game too. Melvin Gordon's a good running back too, and this is nothing against him. I think a lot of people think Melvin Gordon's a boring running back. He's actually pretty good. Like, I think Melvin Gordon's actually a really good running back. It's just Philip Lindsay is very good too, and that's why I hated the signing when they did it, because I felt like they had two running backs that deserved to have bigger roles. But if Lindsay misses, Melvin Gordon's a plug-and-play RB2, maybe even close to an RB1. But if they're both playing, I moved Gordon down to RB21 for rest of season, and I moved Lindsay, I think, to RB29. So they're both – it's just they're going to cancel out the upside that each other brings.
Yeah, I think I'll probably have Gordon a little bit lower than that, but not too much, probably like more like 25 or something like that. He's just not a guy who I'm going to feel comfortable rolling out there so long as – I mean, as a flex, sure, but as an RB2, probably not. Whenever Lindsay is healthy. Meanwhile, the passing game, it was a messy day out there, which you mentioned. Your leading receiver is Albert O, who catches all seven of his targets for 60 yards. Tim Patrick limited to just 3 for 44. Noah Fant eased in. He did get 7 targets, but just catches 3 of them for 38 yards. And Jerry Jeudy just 2 for 20. Anything to take away here, Tags, from the passing game?
I mean, Noah Fant, I was worried about, and I dropped him a little bit in my rankings this morning because we knew the weather wasn't great. He was coming off the high ankle sprain, and I didn't know how that would work with his footing. They say that actually a slippery field like that is better for like less injuries, because it's like it just allows things to slip rather than like for things to plant and like literally roll harder. But I still brought him down a little bit with the messy conditions. I thought they might try and ease him back in because of that. Jerry Jeudy not getting targeted the last couple games. That's a problem. That's a real big problem.
You can drop Jerry Jeudy, Tags. I'm just calling it. I love Jerry Jeudy. I think he's an incredible talent. I don't know why we continue to roster him. What he's not getting the targets. What's the point?
I don't think that you have to roster any of the wide receivers in Denver. We've talked about Tim Patrick before, and my concern is there. I have concerns about Drew Lock in terms of what he brings to the table. With the way that this Denver team is going right now, I would not be shocked if they draft a quarterback in the first round next year.
Yeah, things aren't pretty right now for that offense. I didn't necessarily expect it to be. I know everybody was really excited about it coming in, but I've never been the biggest Drew Lock fan, at least not coming into this year. So, yeah, I'm a little worried. Let's finish things off here with the Chargers 39, Jaguars 29. If you roster Justin Herbert, you can thank Tags for the production, because Tags literally messaged me and was like, oh, man, Justin Herbert does not look good right now in this game, which he didn't. And then he really turned it up at the end. He really went nuts as soon as you said that. He winds up throwing for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also rushes for 66 yards and a touchdown. The running backs, though, Tags, we were debating, what do we do with these running backs the whole week? You know, fantasy managers were asking. Kelly winds up with 12 for 29 on the ground. He also catches all 5 of his targets for 24 yards. Meanwhile, Jackson, just 5 for 12 on the ground. He also catches 5 of his 6 targets for 43 yards. And at one point, we were like, wait, is Jackson injured? Did he leave or what happened? So how are you viewing this backfield at this point going forward?
Well, Joshua Kelly continues to do Joshua Kelly type things and average sub 3 yards per carry. So that's not going to help him going forward. I think the reason that we saw Justin Jackson somewhat limited is because he missed practice a lot of the week. He was a true game time decision. He didn't even work out prior to the game, so it seemed like he was going to be inactive. They called up another running back to the team on Saturday, so it seemed like everything was aligning for him to miss this game, so he may have just been limited in his return. So it's good that he took the field at all. We want to see him practice in full this week, and if he does practice in full, I'm willing to trust him as a high-end RB3, low-end RB2, because Joshua Kelly is who he thought he was, basically.
Yeah, it was certainly not impressive. Meanwhile, this is the first game, Tags, where we see what it looks like when both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are on the field. Keenan Allen, 13 targets, 10 catches, 125 yards. Mike Williams, 3 targets, 1 catch, 4 yards. So, you know, we know what Keenan Allen is at this point. We're comfortable with him. I mean, does Mike Williams plummet down your rest of season rankings?
He's going to fall for sure. I haven't figured out just how far I'm going to move him, but you know, Jalen Guyton gets an 80, like a 70 yard touchdown in this game. That stuff can't continue. He's been getting one of those like every week. So Mike Williams, I'm not going to panic. Like Hunter Henry didn't even have a good game. 3 catches, 23 yards on 7 targets in a good matchup against Jacksonville too. That was like the most disappointing. I think that was even more disappointing than Mike Williams, to be honest with you. So with how well Herbert's playing, I can't move Williams down too much. I'm going to keep him around that wide receiver 40 territory.
Okay. I don't really have a problem with that. Again, we had him basically at the same spot coming in. You had him 38, I had him 37. We'll probably both drop him down a few spots. Again, this is something where I really don't want to overreact every time there's one game to this situation, right? You know what Keenan Allen is. We don't know yet what Mike Williams is with Justin Herbert. So let's wait to see it another game before we go absolutely nuts. He still should be rostered, and I wouldn't try to get rid of him and sell him low because there still may be a ton of value there. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, again, I joked about this, these dumb reports about benching Gardner Minshew. I don't, if they go to Mike Glennon, then I'm boycotting the Jaguars for the rest of the year. Minshew started off absolutely horrifically. He really looked to me like he was terrified to make a mistake, which is just like, you can't cage a tiger, man. You got to let him roam free. In the end, he does throw for 173 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of which goes to James Robinson, catches 4 balls for 18 yards with the touchdown, and on the ground, 22 for 119 and a score tagged. How high is James Robinson in your rest of season ranking?
He's someone that I think have him at, let me pull up the running backs. I have him right at RB 16, but honestly,
still tags, still, because he was a borderline candidate for What's Your Problem, Man. He's an RB 1 at this point, tags.
I could understand why you'd say that, but if they go to her, if they are dumb enough to think that benching Gardner Minshew is the problem, I think they're dumb enough to like they're just going to suck worse on offense if they go to Mike Glennon. I've been there. It's not good. I just worry about how bad that team is. Like, so like Todd Gurley, for example, I'm going to keep Todd Gurley ahead of him right now. And then after this week's game against Carolina, I'm going to move James Robinson up because like, obviously I want to get the most out of that matchup and then I want to sell high. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the offense is just so damn good. I can understand wanting James Robinson over Edwards-Helaire, especially with Le'Veon Bell there, but it's a conversation that you want to have. Miles Sanders is a guy that's dealing with an injury. Do I want him over Miles Sanders? Maybe. Like, there's a lot of guys in that conversation. Like, even Josh Jacobs belongs in that conversation, to be honest. And then you get to James Conner, Joe Mixon territory, and it's like, I think once you get outside the top 8 running backs for me, you could make the conversation for anybody from, like, 9 through 16.
I think that's fair. And again, when I rank, I try to just take into account the entire rest of season sort of stuff. So yeah, guys will move up and down based on when they're past their good matchups, of course. But for example, I dropped Mixon behind him because of the injury, because of the fact that he was out this week. He may be out next week. That's really going to put a little bit of a damper on his rest of season value. But that's fine. To me, he is an RB1. He should be valued as such. Finally, I mean, we don't know what's going to go on with the quarterback situation, but what do you want to do with these pass catchers here? I mean, DJ Chark does see 7 targets, a very frustrating 7 targets you could see for him. Only 1 catch for 26 yards. Laviska Shenault, 3 for 44. Are you still starting Chark regularly? Maybe Shenault, and that's it?
Well, we talked about this on the Start Sit show, where I felt like there's so many options in this offense that it's going to be difficult for any of them to be like consistent. And I think we see it with Keelan Cole, you know, 1 catch for 12 yards today. DJ Chark, obviously 1 catch for 26 yards. Chark is the best receiver in this offense. He has been getting somewhat of a steady stream of targets. So him, I am willing to buy low on DJ Chark. I think he's probably one of the better buy lows in football because you can't get targeted as much as he does and just not produce because he is a good wide receiver. It's just the targets have been a little bit off. Shenault is who he is. Like, his role has been growing, but then 3 targets today because they basically didn't have possession the entire game. Like, they were the Vikings for a week. So in games where Minshew throws the ball 27 times, there's not going to be a whole lot of fantasy value to go around. So I'm honestly, Chark is the only one that I feel honestly necessary to roster. I think Shenault probably should be. Keelan Cole is, I mentioned it before, I feel like he's like a Cole Beasley type option, a guy he's not sexy to put in your lineup, but he can get the job done most of the time. I didn't like his matchup this week. Obviously, you know, Minshew throwing the ball 27 times is not something we anticipated, but it's just, there's so many different names in this offense that it's difficult for any of them to remain consistent, especially on a team that typically doesn't score a whole lot of points.
I don't think you have to hold anybody but Chark through the bye week. That's my basic take on it. You should hold Chark. He does have the most upside. And he can be a reliable wide receiver that you throw out there each and every week. I would try to hold Chenault, basically, like you said. There's no way. I have Cole in the league. There's just no way with where we are in bye weeks that I'm going to feel the need to hold him through it. So that's where I am with that. All right. That is it for our Sunday recap for week 7. Oh, tags, it's flying by. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you watch us on our YouTube channel, thank you for watching the live stream. If not, you can watch it anytime you want. YouTube.com/FantasyPros. Don't forget to enter our contest for our monster giveaway. Go to FantasyPros.com/contest. Thanks to Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go to PristineAuction.com. Thousands of auctions every day. PristineAuction.com. PristineAuction.com. auction.com. Thanks also to Air Medcare Network. Remember, protect you and your loved ones. Get the peace of mind you deserve. Just go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code fantasypros. You will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Be back tomorrow talking waiver wire, my friends. I'll talk to you then.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.